Welcome back to the Ministry Without Hating It podcast, dedicated to the pursuit of answering the question, is it possible to do ministry without hating it? We have a theory that it just might be. We are excited to kick off season two, but doing something a little different than our usual format today. But before we jump into that episode, I want to just give just a couple of quick updates that we wanted to make you aware of. First, we are shifting our episode release schedule just slightly to once a month with some occasional bonus episodes thrown in throughout the year. We have learned that in order to do podcasting without hating it, we needed to pivot our production rhythm just a little bit. And so that's what we're going to be doing moving forward. Lastly, I'm happy to announce that we now have a few ways for you to engage with and support the Ministry Without Hating It podcast. You can sign up for our monthly email newsletter, follow us on Facebook, and support the show through Buy Me a Coffee. You can find these links via our Linktree, which is linktree.com/withouthatingit, or in the episode show notes. Okay, so today's episode is an important one because it's focused on something that really should be at the forefront of ministry leaders with families, and that is their children, or as we like to say, the ministry at home. The idea of this episode actually came from a kitchen conversation with my oldest daughter, Addie, who is about 13. And she asked me, she said, "Dad, when are you going to interview me for this podcast?" And I just kind of laughed and said, "Well, yeah, maybe we could just call it Pastor's Kid Without Hating It." And I paused. I'm like, "Actually, that would be a great idea. We should do that." And so we thought, let's interview Addie, but also pull in some other voices on their experience of being a pastor's kid and really how that shaped them, how it shapes the ministries that they're a part of now, and how it affects their own ministries at home. And so today is a little different in that what we've done before, and that we have cut together just a few different interviews with PKs of varying backgrounds answering the same questions to help you, the ministry leader, have ministry kids without hating it. So our conversation today is with three PKs, TJ Burgett, Jennifer Birch, who are grown now, and my daughter, Addie Garrison, who is still in the thick of being a PK. And so we hope that you enjoy our interview with these pastors' kids. All right, everyone. Well, welcome to the podcast. We like to start off by asking one question. And so when I say the word ministry, what does that mean to you?
People helping each other.
Okay.
Difficult.
Difficult? What do you mean?
I don't know. I've just like seen with you, it can be hard sometimes.
Oh. Okay. Talk to me about that.
Like, you come home sometimes like stressed about something happening in it, or sometimes like it's hard with people in the church. Sometimes things are hard.
Ministry to me, I'll give you a very spiritual answer, but it's fulfilling the call that God has placed on someone's life. It's basically fulfilling the Great Commission. However, in like our Western culture, ministry is also used to define someone in a type of clergy role. But as far as like ministry in itself, I believe it's just fulfilling the Great Commission.
I would say for me, because listening to all of the people's answers has been kind of interesting, but for me, I would say serving alongside my brother and sisters in Christ for the purpose of making disciples and to help them walk through their call with God, with their gifts and their talents.
Okay, so how has your own journey shaped your definition of ministry?
Well, it's a good thing, yeah, because you make lots of connections with people, and they, like, help you through your journey with, like, God and getting closer to Him.
I think it's just it's come from the years of doing what I've done. I've learned that it's my duty to be obedient to what God has called me to do, and then He kind of takes care of the rest. I will never be able to truly change someone's heart, but I can introduce them to the Holy Spirit, who has the power to do that. And as the older I get, I think that some of the things I thought in ministry, that what it was really meant to be or defined, has really evolved into something more of trying to be a mirror of who Jesus is. And that's kind of like the true Jesus, not this westernized person that sometimes America has made him to be, but the actual son of the true and living God.
You mentioned, you said, you know, what you would have thought earlier, especially when we got a show really focused on pastors' kids. How has that changed? Like, what tell us what it used to be, or maybe even growing up, what it would have been.
Yeah, growing up to me, like, ministry was, you know, a 9-to-5 job that was actually more like probably 6 a.m. to 9 p.m. and Monday through Monday, and you never got a break. It was always on call, or, you know, always church stuff to do. And so ministry was more of a job instead of a lifestyle.
How did when did you notice or begin to make a shift in your thinking for that?
Probably in the last, I'd say 8 to 10 years, just being asked to do more of assistant pastoral role in our church instead of just kind of doing like being a youth pastor and a worship leader, asking to take on more of an associate pastor position. I realized that there's not enough time in the day to kind of like really do any of that. And then just like reading through books and studying and having people speak into my life and mentors and grandparents and such to really understand that, like, it's, if I were to make it just a job, then that's kind of my performance aspect of it. Mm-hmm. And ministry as performance is not ministry at all. It's just going for a paycheck. And I never wanted that to be like my primary goal.
For me, like, because we always had to serve in some capacity as kids in my parents' church, with them being ministers and all that, that at first I didn't always enjoy the having to jump in and serve. I mean, teaching Sunday school, working in the nurseries when there's nobody else to do any of that stuff. I kind of didn't like it at first, you know, especially my teenage years. But then as I moved in with my grandfather when I was 18, so I could go to college, and he showed me a total different perspective of serving and being a part of ministry, that there was this joy about him when he served and ministered to people. I mean, my dad had joy too, but anyway, side note, but it just brought a different perspective as I became a young adult and started, like, I had to find my own church, where I was going to get connected and how was I going to get connected in that place. And watching my grandfather serve joyfully helped me then get connected, which was his church, which was this church in Cedar Rapids. And so I would say it changed my idea of why we serve, and it's not just to fulfill a place or a spot, but it's really to serve God's people. And so I guess it kind of changed. I don't know. It kind of gave me the motto for our family. Like, I have this scripture that's on my front door. It says, it's Joshua 4:15. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And so I've tried to just embed that in our family, and it's who I am.
So how do you think, or maybe what has been your experience with people in the church viewing you as a pastor's kid?
Maybe sometimes, like, I worry they think I get special treatment or stuff, like they view me as that.
Yeah, I think growing up as a PK, there was just always this kind of unspoken underlying thing that I had to be a, like, proper model child. I think that was probably 50-50 of my own self putting in there, but also there's probably the 50% of it that was placed by others and experiencing some of that. Our church was on the smaller side of things. So, I mean, as the pastor's family, we really did stand out. And especially as a kid, like, they noticed if I wasn't there on Sunday morning or Wednesday night, and they noticed if you're whispering or laughing during service and things like that. So you kind of get put under the microphone a little bit more in a smaller church. which I'm so thankful that we didn't have like cell phones or anything like that, because that would have been taken away on a daily Sunday basis if I had a cell phone in service. So,
wait, you're saying we can't laugh in church? Is that what you're saying?
Oh, I can remember several times where my dad not even breaking sentence and preaching on something in a Bible verse and just being Thaddeus John up to the front and then continue on with his service because I'm goofing off in the back with friends.
Yeah. Yeah. My oldest sits in the front row and I just have to look at her really quick, like jerk my head and look, but she doesn't do a lot, but when she does, I can just give the look and she knows, and everybody knows.
I call it the Christian walk of shame.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. There would have been no way of keeping me in a second service growing up.
So I don't have a lot of memories of feeling like people in the church labeled us different. I remember my mom telling people that we're kids and she was going to allow us to be kids. And she really just stuck up for us in the sense of that we were children and we were allowed to be children and we're not going to be treated any differently. But if us kids messed up, you better believe she corrected us. And so I don't remember a lot of like stigma with being a PK. I actually don't even remember hearing the word PK until I was like a teenager and even knew that that was a phrase that people used. As for being labeled as a PK, my parents did a great job of protecting us from that.
So then how do you view yourself as a pastor's kid?
I don't feel like I get like special treatment. I do like get to do some things extra, which is nice, like, and stuff. And like, you're always like there for things. So like, you know, I can always go to you guys.
Just thinking about that is kind of like a stereotypical Christian response, but I mean, thinking about it, it's true. Like, I do feel blessed with it and the great words of Tim Tebow. But like, my upbringing really showed like what church is really about. So there's a lot of the fun times, the times that are joyous and we're celebrating, but then you also kind of see the really ugly side of things as well in the church. And that's kind of become like the foundation in my life. I mean, I've seen some of the true nastiness of church growing up, and yet to still be a pastor, it really allows me to point everything back to God and say that I've accomplished things because it's Him and it's really all about Him. And so that gets to be used as like a foundation to my testimony. Like, why would, knowing what I know and seeing what I saw growing up, like, why would I just, you know, choose to go this route? It's not glamour. It's not necessarily a great thing, but it really goes back to just being obedient to what God wanted me to do. And then also, like, I feel that I'm a part of a, like, an exclusive club. Like, I have a special bond with a lot of pastors' kids because of what has happened in our life. And I think that's kind of like a fun thing to like have. We're like the fraternity of pastor kids. And like, you can always bring up things that have happened in your life that other pastor kids will like relate to, and you can draw relationships and connection through that.
So I'm curious, just within that, how has that changed? Because like you said, you know, you've seen the good and the bad and the ugly. Have you always felt blessed to be a pastor's kid, or has that shifted?
Yeah, that's definitely hindsight 2020. I mean, as a youth pastor, I challenge our youth kids all the time to really find out what God's speaking to them, but also have mentors speak into their life that like have gone through life, because kids, I mean, they are so focused on the now, like their brain just can't understand like the true consequences of their action. And so everything is like, I'm in this moment right now, and it's the most important thing that's going to happen in my lifetime, this moment. And so as a kid, like when you saw the nastiness of church issues happening, I mean, that's the moment that you're in. That's the most important thing that you see. Like, church is always going to be nasty and not fun. But as I got older and be able to look back on my life and reflect on things, like I do feel blessed because, you know, I got into ministry and was able to be a pastor and not have this like false expectation of what was really going to happen. Like I knew that going into ministry, I wasn't going to be making seven figures and have a mega church and have everyone, you know, love me and have me write books and be on podcasts and stuff like that. But it was more of I understood that, you know, ministry and the aspect of leading people and doing that was really just being obedient to what God wants for you. And then kind of just going from there. Yeah. I remember being at camp and like feeling that God was calling me into a life of being in ministry in some aspect or form. And like, I was one that as soon as the dismissal came, I was out the back of the chapel going to night session, having fun. And I remember sitting there and just like bawling, and the district youth pastor's wife like came up to me and was like, what's wrong? Like, why are you crying? And I remember just looking at her and sobbing and saying, God wants me to be in ministry and I don't want to do that.
I am who I am. Yes, I have a father. He is a pastor, but I am also Jennifer Birch, and I am not underneath his ministry. I am me.
Yeah. Yeah. So what weight comes with that, if any? Or what did?
Well, I guess, you know, because in this probably jumps ahead to some stuff, but I understand pastors are human. And so I know my father's a human, and I know people treat people differently because of who they're associated with. And not say my dad's an awful person, because he's not. He loves the Lord and he loves the word of God and stuff, but I'm not the same person. He's more outgoing than I am. I'm definitely want to be behind the scenes. He enjoys being up front. So like, don't expect Michael Elmore when you come across Jennifer Birch.
Sure. And who, why would we expect any different? I think that's great that you know who you are. And that's one of the things that you've been able to kind of, as you've kind of come through life, even been able to actually hold on to. So that's great. Mm-hmm. I think it's great. Tell me, what have been some of the best things about being a pastor's kid for you?
Getting to know people better. Like building connections with people. Going, like, I got to like spend summers at camp. That was really fun. Like, yeah, getting to do like things with other people. I like going to your office during the summer. And I get to help out in like kids' church. I get to help out in nursery and pre-K and stuff, because I'm like there every week.
I think some of the best stuff that happened in my life was, you know, for being a kid, was like we had PK retreats where we got to go hang out with other pastor kids for a weekend. At church camp, we had like pizza parties for the exclusive group. Like when you got to eat pizza, they had camp food. some of the joys of like being in our denomination's district and stuff like that, I got to know like the ins and outs of all these different church buildings, and for like sleepovers and, or not sleepovers, lock-ins and stuff like that. We were able to have fun. And you got to mention like the drinking of the leftover grape juice after communion. Everyone knows that this mm-hmm. happens. You can't mm-hmm. waste the good mm-hmm. stuff. Like I think also like on a more serious note is like it helped me to like really understand like my parents better too. Like I got to see my parents go through like struggles and hard days, but at the same time, I saw them like push forward and push towards God. And I think being a pastor's kid really allowed to see me like in that whole grand aspect of following after God, because these are people in my life that some people thought should be perfect and put on a pedestal, and yet they didn't see them the way that I saw them. And so really get to see them like push forward in their relationship with God was something that I I found as like a kind of a privilege, and just being able to experience, and only coming from a pastor's kid. I don't know if other kids feel that same way too. But for me, I was just amazed that my parents could minister at a small church and not get a lot of accolades that I thought maybe they deserved or things like that, and saw them still push forward in their relationship with God.
I loved being able to get to know as many people as I've gotten to know over my lifetime, seeing the places I've gotten to see. I mean, because we've lived all over, you know, we've lived in LA, we lived in Wisconsin, Illinois, Iowa, Ohio. And so I've just seen a lot of the country. And so even though there's negatives with that too, but I feel like because of that, I've been able to, the positive is I'm able to get to know people and be friendly to people because I've had to learn to make friends quickly because we moved a lot.
And how do you feel like that is, continue to spill then over into your adult life?
I think it's allowed me to be maybe a little bit more open to people and more vulnerable, because I know that when you're going through things in life, people need to be honest with each other. And when you move and you have to get to know people, you have to build relationship. And if you're not willing to open up, then you have a hard time connecting and making relationship. So I think it helps me to build, has helped me to build relationship and open up to people to build relationship with them.
That's actually a bit of hope for me. I just want, and you know, Jen, I mean, our kids have had to move a few times. And my oldest, especially, she even mentions that, even when we interviewed her, and that is a hard thing, but to know that, you know, God is still going to use that, and actually it's going to give them almost a little bit of an advantage when mm-hmm. when they move forward as they're growing. Thank you for sharing that. So what have been some of maybe the hardest things or challenges that you have experienced in being a pastor's kid?
Moving, definitely, because like moving for different churches and stuff.
How many churches have you been in, and how many houses?
Houses, 8. Right? Yeah, 8. But churches, 3, I think. But like the different variations too, like when we were church planning. But it's also hard because like whenever things with like you have like connections with people or stuff, and then they leave the church, or like they get into an argument with somebody there, and then they just like they leave, or sometimes it feels like they're abandoning you. So well, sometimes it, like I have a hard time forgiving the people too, because it feels like they like left or something, when like it's more than that, because like it's not something that you did, but it feels like sometimes you worry or stuff like that. But eventually, like, I sort of forgive them. I learn to forgive them most of the time, or like have a connection, like eventually learn how to like still have a relationship with them.
So for me personally, I think receiving some of the blame that when things go wrong from church members that were not rightfully put on me, but they were. I think also there was the challenge of trying to fit into a perfect child mold that, I mean, it's impossible to be done. And going back to, you kind of see the nasty side of ministry. It's hard being a kid and truly understanding that hurt people. And yet at the same time, I didn't have a choice whether or not I was going to be hurt by them. Like, I didn't sign up for this role, and yet here they are, like, still hurting me. Spiritual scars are a real thing, but I've also like been able to learn that just like real life scars, that they're kind of a badge of honor. And sometimes you're able to show off your spiritual scars to help other people kind of like learn from things and help push them in the right direction. So not fun at the time, but as I look back on some of these things, like it's been able to help me and relate to other pastor kids and be kind of like a mentor to the youth kids that I'm around on a daily basis.
Having to say goodbye to friendships and relationships, that I remember one particular move that was really, really hard. I was 11 and we were like totally had this friendship core of kids in our neighborhood. And I just remember great memories of doing amazing things with them because, I mean, our house is connected to our church and we were able to play hide and seek in the basement. And like, it was crazy. But so that was really, really hard. I think another part that may have been difficult is you feel alone when you first move. And it's hard. I like to have those real connections, long-term relationship connections. And that has probably affected me more as an adult. Because I don't get to say I've had this friend since I was like 5 or, sorry, tears.
That's okay. That's okay.
As a second hard challenge, I would say that was probably impacted me the most in a probably middle school on up through high school age was the financial stresses of being a pastor. Of we were, you know, mostly at small churches, small communities, and I just like I don't remember so much as a child like how broke my dad was going through. We were when he was going through Life Bible College with 3 small children. You know, I don't remember all that except for stories that they told. But I remember in junior high and high school, you know, like how that affected me a little bit more, that my parents were not able to get us the things that we really wanted. That may have affected me a little bit more as an adult than it so much did when I was a kid. But I do know that was definitely a difficult thing for our family, our parents, just because we were in different parts of the country away from our immediate family. And so I just remember, like, if we could not afford to go home for Christmas to see all of our grandparents and aunts and uncles and stuff like that. So that was definitely something that was more difficult.
Yeah. And how did you, you're talking about kind of walking through those things and those challenges. I mean, how did you walk through that? How do you feel like that has maybe impacted how you deal with things now?
I know in my early marriage, it did not sit well. I remember my husband coming home from a young adult retreat and says, "Hey, I think I'm being called to be a pastor." And I said, "Oh no, I did not marry a pastor." because I'm like, I'm not going through those financial, you know, headaches of being on an income that could potentially be rough. And so needless to say, the Lord had me repent and ask forgiveness. And I mean, it was several years later and I still learned those life lessons of trusting the Lord with our finances and everything, with or without being a pastor.
Yeah. Isn't it fun how God brings us around anyway?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm curious, how have you navigated the false expectations that were placed on you by others or maybe even by yourself?
Sometimes I feel like I have to show them I don't, like, be the same as them, have the same treatment as them. Like, I worry, like, that they're going to think bad about me because if I do, like, get to do some extra things because you're the pastor.
Has anybody ever told you any of that?
Well, not, like, adults, but sometimes, like, kids are, like, say something like, "You're spoiled," or, like, "Oh, you get to do this because you're the pastor's kid," or something like that.
And what do you usually say to them?
I don't like I say, well, like sometimes I'm like, well, yeah, I do get to do that. But I mean, it doesn't mean I'm spoiled.
I think it's just, you know, it's maturing and in your age and stuff like that. We had some people leave when I was in high school and some very hurtful things were said about people that I trusted and looked up to. And that really caused me to like step away from the faith. I had these false expectations that like I had to live up to this certain standard, and if I had to be held up to these certain standards, other people that were quote unquote Christian should be held up to that same thing. And I didn't want to be a Christian if that's how they acted, especially towards my parents and siblings. So I couldn't really comprehend why anyone would want to be a Christian if this is how they kind of in bracket all acted all the time. But at that point, like I had parents and grandparents and other pastors that were relevant to my life that like really, they never gave up on me and they spoke truth. And I began to realize that that was when I needed to follow after Jesus because I wanted to. It wasn't what other people wanted me to do or these false expectations that I had to. It was the relationship that with God was something that I wanted to do because those false expectations that people put on me were like a really shaky foundation. And so when I went through that storm in my life, that foundation completely collapsed. And then it wasn't until, you know, I wanted to follow after Jesus because I wanted a real relationship with him, that those false expectations really did not matter to me anymore. And my foundation began to be a little bit more solid and a little bit more structured and firm. And so now when storms happen in life and in ministry as a pastor, sometimes expectations are put on me. And if they're not, you know, based upon truth, and they're based in expectations of fear or jealousy or anything like that, it doesn't bother me. And, you know, my foundation's good to go on those things, and I'm no longer be able to collapse. Yeah, I think you have to have a spiritual resilience to you. Like being a pastor takes thick skin. You can't find offense in every little thing. And, you know, our world can take offense to so many different things nowadays. And they get worked up about what I consider to be minor things. And as a pastor, if someone doesn't like your sermon, if you're preaching what God wants you to preach, you can't take that necessarily personal. Like everyone has their own opinions and stuff like that. And so you have to be resilient and you have to have kind of a thick skin. So I think that's really helped shape me for doing ministry.
I think I've come to grips and understanding of that there are times and seasons in life for people to be in your life. And so that is always hard to see when people exit your life. And so with learning and having to say the goodbyes and not having those long-term friendships from childhood, that it's allowed me to walk through life understanding that there are seasons for people in your life. Even if you live in the same community with them, they're still going to be in your life for a season. And so I think that helps, even though it's hard when you lose those relationships or that they become distant. Not that they're lost, but like distant, because, you know, life takes you one way and life takes the other person the other way. It makes it easier for transition and being able to say, well, they were here. It was wonderful while they're here, and be able to not, and just thank God that they were in your life for that time.
What are some of the burdens that you carry as a PK that your ministry leader parents, they weren't or still maybe aren't aware of?
Worrying that you have to be like perfect all the time or like show people that you're perfect and you're not perfect. Sure. I don't know. Like going back, like you have to be perfect or like not like get upset during things or stuff like that. And also like stuff like that, or like worrying that you guys will get upset. Like if I don't do ministry or something with ministry when I grow up, like, I wanted to be a missionary at one point, but now, like, I see some other things for my future. So, like, worrying that maybe I'll disappoint you guys if I don't.
I mean, the burden of just, like, my personality has always been someone that wants to please people. And I don't necessarily think that comes from a role as just being a pastor's kid. I think that's just more of the personality and being a an Enneagram 7. So shout out to all my 7s out there. But like that aspect of wanting to please others and stuff like that is kind of the burden that I have. And I think that gets a little bit, it gets made to be a bigger deal when you're a pastor's kid, because you feel like the false expectations that you have to do this when you really don't. So I wouldn't consider that necessarily a burden as being a PK. I think that was just more under the microscope a little bit more, made it a little bit bigger in my life. But I can speak on behalf of other people. Like, I think that having talked with several pastor's kids, that ministry leader can be aware of, either like pastors or people on their ministry team, that some of the baggage that gets carried on doesn't get taken care of properly, and so they really hold on to it, and they need an opportunity to let it be released. Like when I had my coming back to Jesus moment, like I sat down with my dad for several hours, and we kind of just cleared the air on a lot of things, and that was very helpful. And it was a great opportunity to really heal in that aspect. And so I think some of the burdens that PKs carry in their like adulthood is they just never have had the opportunity to really just kind of release some of that in an open, safe environment.
I'm wondering if my parents understood the heaviness that we actually held or understood of their ministry and the hard things that they walked through. Even though they, you know, all parents try to protect their children as much as possible, but there were definitely times where we could feel that heaviness in our home. It may have helped me understand them more, and I guess it probably helped me understand pastors more and why I have like this extra place of grace for them because of the humanity of a pastor and their family, and they're human just like the rest of everybody. And so I could tell when my parents were really crying out to God for their people. Gosh, that's going to hit me. And how much they really loved and still love their people. You really pour out as a pastor and your family. You guys really pour out to your people and trust the Lord with heavy things. And so I guess I don't know if my parents fully understood that we held some of that with them. And maybe my sister and brother didn't, but I know I did. They still trusted. So I thank them for that. They didn't waver. They held on to their faith and to God. So for being a good example in that area.
So what have you learned about being a PK, and how has that shaped where you find yourself today?
I've learned how to talk to people, like have conversations with people. And like sometimes like explain to them why I'm upset, maybe some because like that. I've learned that you don't always like, I don't know how to explain this. Like I don't always have to, like I can have my own time too. I don't always have to like, you don't always have to be with other people. Or like if they want to talk, you don't always have to do that. Like you're allowed to take a break. Like have your own, like you don't always have to do what other people want. Sometimes you have to do what's best for you so you can be okay mentally, so you can like do your job or stuff like that.
I'm curious, what advice or maybe even encouragement would you give to ministry leaders that are listening right now that actually have kids?
I can think of three things. Hopefully this isn't too long-winded, but the first one would be to treat your kids just like they're kids. If they have a breakdown about going to church on a Sunday morning, you know, that doesn't mean that they're going to hell. They're just being a kid. Protect them with prayer. I like to say, if you aren't praying for your kids, it's time to do so, because if you aren't praying for them, then the devil is praying on them.
Oh, that's good.
Also, when I got married, my grandma told me it was like now God, my wife, and then ministry. And if I had children, it would be God, wife, my kids, and ministry. And at first I was kind of like, what do you mean by that? But I began to understand that my relationship with God is different than ministry. Ministry is what God has just called me to do. And we serve a big God. And to think that I have to be somewhere or do something so someone can be saved or healed or restored, then I'm putting myself on the same level of God. And God can use other people. And like we see that with Jesus delegating things to his disciples. And we start to think that we have to be there, otherwise God can't move. I think that sets us up for not only disappointment with ourselves, but with disappointment for our kids. And we need to treat them like they're our kids. Go to their sporting events, go to their musicals, go to their plays, go to anything that you can spend time with them. And if a ministry call comes up, delegate that to someone else. And if you're the only person on staff, let them know that you'll get to it when you can. I think one of the big things is like, how can we talk about God the Father if we aren't showing what a real parent is?
It's okay to rely on safe people to help you with your kids. It takes lots of people to help guide them. And even if people are in their lives for a short period of time, there's a purpose and a reason for that. Hopefully all safe people, I remember hurtful people, but it still guides you and it teaches you lessons. And so like, giving your children opportunities to speak and speak truth that is their truths. Cause I know I would talk to my parents about things that were hard in ministry, and sometimes I didn't necessarily feel like they listened, and I wanted to make sure that I did that for my own children, to listen to them, because being in ministry is hard and you want to give them the freedom to say, I don't want to today. And so allowing your children to, I don't want to today, is important to have that freedom for your kids.
Yeah. I think the other thing would be like, or especially with PK, is that when people leave your church or step away from ministry, your kids will feel that. Like it's part of their family that's leaving. So you need to talk with them and be open and honest about things like why they're leaving, or using the wisdom that God's given to you to how much you can really, you know, like go into detail with that. But just being honest with them, because they're going to feel like sometimes that someone is walking out on them. And sometimes they need to grieve. I can think about an individual that came to our church and talked with my parents about being a youth pastor. And I mean, he took me to a Supertones concert and he like played a cool 12-string guitar on worship. And I thought he was like the coolest person ever. And I was looking forward to like having a cool youth pastor and stuff like that. And like they ended up going back home for a holiday and ended up staying there and going to a different church and going on staff there. And I remember that like hurt and crushed me. And like as a kid, when that stuff happens, especially if you have people in your household that are coming through and sitting at your table and, you know, breaking bread and really having fellowship with you, if they either get transitioned to another job or just completely walk out, then, you know, talk to your kids about that, because that can have like a big aspect. And that's kind of like what I said earlier about kind of letting those burdens out. Like, yeah, those are things that kids can hold on to.
Don't hold your kids up to the standard that they have to be perfect. Like, it's just like, because that can be bad. And also still spend time with them, like you do that with us and stuff. Make sure you don't let that get in the way of spending time with your kids, because I love it when all of our family hangs out.
And I think lastly is take them with you when you can. I know that a lot of times like pastors like to leave their kids at home when they go on conference and conventions and stuff like that. And I understand like cost is tough nowadays and all of that, but I would encourage pastors to like take their kids with them. I look at, you know, going conferences when I was younger and like looking forward to that. I got to see other pastor kids. I got to see other pastors. And I think that was awesome. And that some of these older pastors have now become mentors in my life. And I've even become friends with them as I've gotten older. And I think if I would have been left at home, I would have missed these opportunities. And it kind of really has really given me the passion that I have for, you know, for pastor kids. And like my wife and I love being intentional to our pastors, friends, children. Like we love sending birthday cards or sending them text messages and interacting with them. And we do this because I know how much of that impacted me while I was growing up.
So when it comes to interactions and perceptions of the children of ministry leaders, what would you say to those in congregations or even the ministries that the ministry leader is serving currently?
Don't expect we have everything together.
Yeah, I've seen good examples in my life and being on staff at churches where the pastor has just come up and been like, hey, they're my kids. They're going to be kids. They're not going to be perfect. And so that kind of like really set the standard. And I think that's a good thing to mention to the congregation that you've been entrusted with, that your kids aren't going to be perfect. You know, they will have sometimes misbehavior. It doesn't mean that you can ignore the bad behavior or anything like that. But again, it's just reminding them that they're kids. They're not going to be perfect. I can remember being at a church and having someone come up to me and they were like, this PK wasn't, you know, behaving well and so forth. And I remember just being blunt and telling the person, like, just think if every time your kid misbehaved and someone went to another person and said what you said, like, mm-hmm. And, you know, that kind of ended that conversation quickly. But it's just because they're a pastor's kid doesn't give you free rein to gossip about them, just like you wouldn't want other people gossiping about your children. And again, because I think it's sometimes we put pastors on these like pedestals and stuff like that. And we do the same thing with their kids. And we have to understand that their kids aren't the pastors of the church. It's their parents. And they're going to be kids. There's going to be 9-year-old behaviors when they're 9 and teenager behaviors when they're teenagers. And encouraged the congregation to, if you see something that may be concerning, pray for them.
When you're just dealing with all children, not just ministry kids, but all children in the church, is we need to love them, point them to Jesus, and correct the behavior that needs to be corrected. And I think people in the church needs to stop putting labels like PKs on kids and expect them to be angels and to expect them to know all the word of God and to be superhuman. Because they're just humans. And so I want people to understand that pastor kids are kids too.
All right, let me get you guys out on this one. Speak to any PKs or ministry kids, whether it's in the past or currently. What life-giving wisdom and encouragement do you want to pass along right now?
Don't worry about feeling like you're not allowed to have your own problems. Don't be afraid to talk to other people or to your parents. Don't try to be different to please people in the like church congregation or stuff. Like, be yourself and like still do like enjoy yourself. Don't like worry about like you're being watched on security footage every moment of your life. Yeah. Just keep going.
No matter what places the Lord takes your family or you, there's a purpose and a reason for you to be there, that He loves you. He's not left you. He's not forsaken you. He will provide all the things that you need in those seasons that you're in those different places. I think holding on to the truths that they are loved and cared for by an amazing God that does not want to see them fail, does not want to hurt them or harm them, that they can love Jesus and still do all that he's called them to do, even when it seems difficult.
I think for kids that are in the in the moment of being a pastor's kid, and this just goes back to many years of kind of telling the same thing to pastor's kids when they come up to me and they ask for help or they ask for advice, is just letting them know that just because you're a pastor kid doesn't mean that you have to take on the role of being a pastor. Like, that's not what God has called you to do. And so I encourage pastor kids, like, support your parents. You know, life is not always the easiest for them in ministry, but you can support them and be their number one fan and encourage them along the way and all that stuff. And like, I truly believe that when you support your parents, that helps them a ton and it allows them to do ministry without hating it. And then also, like, for older pastor kids that have either left the faith or are no longer in ministry or doing their own thing or anything like that, they're just older, to just be remembering that, like, what your experience as a pastor's kid matters. Like, you can't take away your life's experiences. And if you've got scars or you have hurts and stuff like that, it's a good thing to talk to people about that. I'm a huge proponent in my last couple years of mental health and getting counseling if needed, because sometimes being a pastor's kid can leave scars. And I've seen, you know, with some pastor kid friends that have left huge scars in their life and it was never like taken care of. And I think that's a huge reason why they no longer follow after God, because they put everything in the same way that I did. Like, why would I want to serve God if the people that are serving him were like just terrible people? And so I would encourage people that have had similar situations or think that same thing, like, to remember that we serve God because our relationship with him is what matters. Like, I'm not going to make it to heaven because of what, you know, Brenton or Chad does, or even how they interact with me in my life. I'm going to make it to heaven because of my relationship with Jesus Christ and accepting him as my Savior and Lord and trying to be obedient and doing what him, I answer for myself. And with life, you know, things happen. Hurts happen, but also fun and joyful things happen too. And so I just kind of put them all together and just encourage people, like, live your life the way that God wants you to live it, and be obedient to him, and everything else kind of takes care of itself.
Thank you so much for being on this podcast. Really, really great stuff. And thank you for sharing just your heart and like I said, just being you.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Thanks for having me.
Well, thanks again for having me. Appreciate
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
Yeah, dude.
Love thank what you guys are doing.
Well, thanks for joining us for this episode of Ministry Without Hating It. We hope it's helped you take one step closer to loving what you do more through the wisdom of others. We want to again thank our panel of PKs. Just a great reminder of how our ministries really should be an overflow of our ministries at home. And I also want to extend a big thank you to Brenton for working through and editing this. I know this was not an easy one to piece together, but it turned out great. And really glad that you guys have gotten to listen to it as well. We'd also like to extend a giant thank you to you, our Ministry Without Hating It listeners, and all those who have reached out to support and encourage us during really the production of the first season. It really means a lot to us, and we're just humbled to hear how the stories from our amazing guests we've had on this past season have been impacting and inspiring others in their own ministries. We are grateful for all of you, and we look forward to continuing to hear more testimonies in the future as we continue on into season two. If you'd like to connect with us further, you'd like to support the podcast or sign up for show updates, just go to Linktree Without Hating It, all one word, to get started. And don't forget to subscribe to Ministry Without Hating It wherever it is that you get your podcasts so you don't miss out on future episode releases. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next time.